The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Nobody likes to grow old. Least of all, anyone who has already arrived there. But what is old? Michelangelo was still active until his death at 89. George Bernard Shaw was still writing plays at 95. No one could categorize either of these men as old. Age is a matter of attitude about life. The young in heart are always with us, even if they sometimes step out of line.
Just push the money through the window and into the bag, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I think that'll be all. Okay, number two.
Roger, number one. Now listen, my partner is going to join me and we're going out the bank door. Anybody moves for 5 minutes after we leave, take the chance of being blasted.
Mystery drama, Honor Among Thieves, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Fred Gwynn. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Tuesday on CBS Television.
I'm not going to die.
She was a singer stricken by an unknown illness. He was a brash surgeon fighting impossible odds.
Bad. This is really bad.
And only a miracle could save her.
Kathy, wake up. It's Dr. Kanon. Wake up, Kathy.
Leonard Nimoy and Penelope Milford star in Seizure, the story of Kathy Morris. A CBS dramatic special based on a true story. Tuesday night at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on CBS Television.
By day needs firmness that feels good by night. That's why you'll love the Serta Perfect Sleeper. Luxurious top comfort plus deep inner support. You get both with every perfect sleeper. So remember, be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper, perfect sleeper. It's a healthy investment in yourself.
Person to person, heart to heart, together we can move the world if we each do our part by helping care for the children, to nourish and to heal those in need. Care
check or money order to CARE, Box 576, New York 10156, or local care office.
We are a constantly changing population. The last generation, the emphasis was on youth. Today, the pendulum has swung back to old folks in numbers, but not in the good things of life. The great dream of retirement has been clouded by the uneasiness of our world. Anyone on a fixed income finds the gap at the end of the month when there isn't any money, slowly growing wider and wider. The average guy, trapped and frustrated, is tempted to abandon the ethics of a lifetime. Average guys like Teach Durkin, Wally Platt, and Sweet Switzkowski.
Hey, Teach! Hey, Teach! Hey, I didn't mean to be late. Hey, where's all the other guys?
No, they didn't feel like playing today, Sweets.
No ball game, huh? How come?
Nobody had the heart for a game today. It's because of Bonzo Toppin. He passed away last night.
Huh? He died? Gee, I,
I never figured on that.
He was 81.
Yeah, but he was tough. Anyway, that's not so old.
Depends where you look at it from.
Heck, he was only 8 years older than me.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm in the same bracket. He may not have seemed old to us, but we must recognize we're no spring chickens.
Yeah, but we could still have had a game. Frankie, come on. How's about a cup of coffee, huh?
Now forget it, sweets.
What's the matter? You off coffee or something?
Who can afford coffee? What day is it?
Tuesday.
No. I don't mean what day, what name. I mean what day, what date.
The 30th, I guess.
Right. So who has money for coffee or anything else before the 3rd?
The 3rd?
The day the check comes in. Social Security.
Oh, yeah. The 3rd, yeah.
And what happens to everyone the days before it comes?
They're broke.
Indubitably. Senior citizen. I tell you what gets me more than anything, though. Group of us get together for ball games because that's what we like. And we looked forward when we retired to have time for them. But it isn't bad enough we can't afford any equipment. We can't afford even to chip in together to help bury a companion who was part of it.
You mean Bonzo didn't have nothing to take care of him when he went?
He was a virtual pauper like the rest of us.
Oh. Well, what religion was he?
I don't know. What's the difference? He should have the right to a decent interment. And all of us should have stood up for it. I still think we should.
Yeah, but if we don't have the scratch, how?
I don't know. I can't think of a way. I called Wally about it on the telephone last night, but Sarah wouldn't let me talk to him. He's just getting over the flu.
Oh.
But she asked us to dinner tonight. Maybe we could talk about it then.
You mean we get a free meal, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how she manages it.
Well, you know, she cooks home. Us old singles, we eat out, it costs more. So how are we going to have a memorial service for Bonzo?
Well, there's got to be some way.
Hey, we could always rob a bank.
See, I don't have anything left to sell or pawn. I don't even have... Rob a bank. Sweets, you know, for once in your life, you may just have given birth to an idea.
You set the table, Wally?
Yeah, I did. Anything else there, Anna?
No, I don't think so. Oh, you think this will be enough for all of us?
I hope so. Sure smells good.
I wanted to get a little more meat to add, but we're scraping the bottom of the barrel again.
Yeah, we're luckier than most, honey. Mm-hmm. You got your part-time job at the factory.
In between us, we just make it every month. That's why I worry so about Peach and Sweet.
They make it.
Oh, I wonder how.
Yeah, so do I. Some months I don't know what to do quite.
Mm.
But you know what's the rotten thing? We can't, none of us can really do much about each other or special things.
Special things?
We're like Bonzo dying.
Mm.
Even his best friends can't get together to give him a decent send-off. Makes you think, who's going to care when we'll go?
Who cares? Just so we go together.
Oh, well, that must be the guys.
Oh, boy, that was some wonderful spread, Sarah.
Yeah, well, I echo the sentiment.
Yes, you outdid yourself, honey.
Well, I'm glad you boys liked it.
Hey, we ought to help with the dishes.
No. I don't want any of you messing around in my kitchen.
Oh, but honey, you...
You just listen to me, Wally. This part of our life, I run. Hey, you boys enjoy your coffee and figure out the rest of the world.
I wish we could.
Well, if anyone can, it ought to be you, Teach.
Why me?
Because you're the leader. Well, I mean, it figures. You're not only the coach, but you're the pitcher.
So what? What do you want me to do?
Well, we're just struggling to think what we can do in Bonzo's memory.
What can we do? We can't even get together enough to buy a headstone for his grave. let alone enough to have a wake.
Well, we got to have some cash money, that's for sure. But how do we raise it?
Well, Teach has a way.
What?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, sure you do. I give you the idea, don't you remember? I just said it for a joke, like. But Teach, he picked up on it. Come on, go and tell him, Teach.
We could rob a bank.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. Yeah. You could end up in prison.
Well, at least you'd get 3 square meals every day, huh?
You can't be serious.
The more I think of it, perhaps we are.
Well, then count me out.
We can't.
Well, how come? Why?
You're the only one who owns a car.
Yeah, and we'll need that for the getaway.
All right, you can borrow it.
No. Wouldn't work.
Why not?
We need you to drive it. 3 of us. One for the holdup, one to cover the people in the bank, and one to keep the car running and serve as a lookout.
Oh, I don't want to be any part of it.
But you got it. We're buddies, right? In everything together.
Yes, I just don't want to be in with you.
What?
The clink, the pokey jail.
No question of that. Correctly envisioned, it cannot fail.
Yeah. Just leave it to Teach. You ever know him to steer us wrong?
All right, sweets. I know what I owe Teach, and you too. You're my pals. But I got a wife to think of as well as myself. I'm too old to be starting a life of crime.
We are only as old as we feel. And I'm not advocating a career in crime. This is strictly a one-shot. Just enough to provide us with some security.
Well, it's still a crime. But I wouldn't want to let you down.
It's the way to go, Wally, baby.
I'm relieved by your decision, Wally. We couldn't swing it without you.
I just hope the old car holds up.
Well, you're a first-rate mechanic. I know you'll put it in shape.
But have I got the time?
Well, I don't think we should wait too long, but it'll take a few days to scout the right bank. Lay the right plans and collect some disguises.
Hey, I got my old seaman's helmet.
And I have a thing like a ski mask that Sarah knitted for me. Used to use it chopping wood. Gets mighty cold in Maine.
How about you, Teach?
Well, I have some built-in plastic options.
What do you mean?
I dislike to reveal my intimate secrets except when the moment is exigent.
Huh?
Observe, if you will, this transformation. You see here, notice my hairline.
Uh-huh.
When I remove my toupee, it's non-existent. Teeth? Also an illusion. Add dark lashes and... Would you know your bosom buddy?
Oh, honest, Teach, you're the most, huh?
Would I pass muster with you, Wally?
I reckon. But wouldn't you feel safer if you were more disguised?
Perhaps if you could filch me one of Sarah's old stockings.
No. Sarah's got to know nothing about what we're planning.
Oh, yeah. I go for that, yeah. Because women talk too much.
Well, it isn't a matter of talking. It's just she'd disapprove.
We won't give her the chance. This is a deep secret between the 3 of us. We've got lots to do in the next few days. We'll meet secretly and finalize the operation. But I want to set a target date. A week from Monday.
How come that day?
Because the bank I'm thinking of distributes the half-month payroll for the Hilldale Cosmetic Factory. There'll be more than enough money when the bank doors open for us to take our share. Right here by the 10-minute sign, Wally.
Okay, Teach, you got it.
Now, are all our watches synchronized?
Yeah, I got 8:45.
I told you to get that watch fixed. Wally?
My watch conked out, but on the radio, just before you made me turn it off, it was 9:03.
That's the correct time. Okay, let's move on out. Got your weapon at the ready, sweets?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
You keep the car running and be ready for us when we come out, Wally.
I suppose a cop comes by.
Yep, well then 3 long on the horn and 2 short. Mission aborted. Got it, team?
Got it. Okay.
Come on then, Sweets. You know what to do.
Like you said, Teach.
Everything planned down to the last detail. Follow the master plan. Nothing can go wrong.
Right.
Okay, let's go in. You get the door. Come on. Let's move it.
I can't.
Why not?
Because there's a sign on the door that says the bank's closed.
Closed? What for?
It's a holiday. Columbus Day.
As Robert Burns said, the best laid schemes of mice and men gang afterglay. Is that the end of our great bank robbery? I doubt it. A man like Teach Sturken, once dedicated to an end, is scarcely ready to stop short of it. The big question for the moment is how they proceed from here on in. We shall discover that when we return shortly with Act Two.
Honey, we're having cheeseburgers like we've never had them before.
We are?
Here's your fork.
My fork?
Yes, your
Where's
fork.
Where's my bun?
Burger Helper, say cheese.
I want my bun.
Help your hamburger, say cheese. Burger Helper, help your hamburger, help them, say cheeseburger Mac.
Our cheeseburger macaroni is a blend of tangy cheese, hearty macaroni, and savory seasonings that give cheeseburgers a whole new meaning.
Well, did you miss the bun?
What bun?
The Honorable Guy Vanderjack, Chairman, the National Republican Congressional Committee.
I am proud to be able to report to you that our federal government is once more responsive to the will of the people. In Congress, we are cutting spending and cutting taxes. We are helping President Reagan fulfill his promise to the people that government must serve, not be a burden. The Republicans in Congress, committed to a better America.
Paid for by the National Republican Congressional Committee.
Pardon me, you wouldn't happen to have a pair of glasses that needs polishing, would you?
A pair of glasses?
See, I suddenly have this urge for a cigarette.
I see. Well, what does polishing glasses have to do with your sudden urge for a cigarette?
Well, I do that instead of smoking.
You polish glasses?
Sometimes I take a shower.
Here, take the glasses.
Oh, thanks.
That replace your craving for a cigarette, does it?
Well, that's one of the things.
Oh.
Like I said, sometimes I take a shower, sometimes I exercise, go for a walk.
Listen, where'd you learn all this anyway?
From the American Lung Association.
The American Lung Association?
They have this new program, see, called Freedom from Smoking.
Freedom from Smoking.
Oh, she'd have kicked the habit in just 20 days.
20 days?
On your own.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, do you find it's helped you?
Well, you don't see me smoking, do you?
No.
I mean, I really wanted a cigarette, but I didn't give in, did I?
No, you sure didn't.
Now, if I can just get rid of this urge to polish
glasses.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't happen to have another pair on you, would you? The sunglasses, swim goggles?
If you really want to kick the habit but need help doing it, contact your local American Lung Association for information on their Freedom from Smoking program. As always, it's a matter of life and breath.
Every great general has encountered adversity. The measure of his greatness was the ability to regroup, to replan, and to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. This has been Teach's problem through the drive back from the outskirts of Tampa to St. Petersburg. Now, just outside St. Pete, they have stopped by a roadside stand in the shades of the palmettos to discuss and regroup.
You see the value of meticulous planning. You think you have everything estimated down to the nth degree, and then you run up against something like Columbus Day.
Maybe it's a good sign.
How, Wally?
Well, Columbus didn't do so hot either, Sweets. He could have sailed the ocean blue, okay, but all he did was run into Cuba or somewhere.
San Salvador, actually. That was the first trip.
You mean Christopher Columbus didn't discover America?
He got a lot closer to the mainland the second time around, but Marty was still the first.
Ah, boy, I'm sure glad to hear that. So, what's good enough for him is good enough for us, huh?
Well, you mean you want to try again?
Why not, huh? I teach, huh?
Why not, indeed? Plans are all laid. Perfect, except for one little miscalculation.
Huh?
By tomorrow, that will be remedied. Both of you willing to have at it again, then?
Oh, yeah, okay by me.
Well, I guess if you guys are still on...
some more coffee, Wally?
No, thanks, sir.
Are you sure?
Well, maybe just splash.
You've been acting so funny. Something is wrong.
No, honey, nothing's wrong.
Now, don't try to pull the wool over my eyes. I've been living with you too long. Something is bothering you.
I'm all right, I tell you, sir.
It's something between you and Teach and Sweet.
Now, forget it, honey, would you please?
I don't want to nag, but I don't like to be shut out. Not by you, Wally.
It's just I worry about them, you know. I mean, all they got's the Social Security check. They're having a tough time making out each month.
I know. Even with us. And me still having a job, we can just about make ends meet.
Well, maybe we can fix that. We got a plan.
What sort of a plan?
Oh, it's just a sort of a way to raise some extra cash.
Wally?
What, sir?
You're not going to do anything you'll be sorry for.
Not if it works out all right.
Now, let's go over it once again.
Do we have to?
We want everything to mesh perfectly. No hitches this time. Now, Wally, when we get there, what do you do?
Well, I park in the 10-minute zone in front of the bank. I keep the engine running. And while you're in there, I keep out of sight if anyone goes by. When I hear you coming out, I put on my ski mask, shove her in gear, and get ready to take off.
Good. Sweets.
Huh? Oh, we go in the bank, and we go down the stairs like we're going to the safe deposit. And on the landing, once we're out of sight, we open the baseball equipment bag and take out the disguises.
Check. The plastic raincoat and the seaman's helmet for you, the poncho for me.
And the stocking mask.
Correct, the stocking mask. Then I give you the machine gun.
Yeah, machine gun. I tell you, Jimmy Dugan's 6-year-old kid sent up a heck of a wail when he discovered that was missing last night.
So you'll get it back to him, along with the super-duper John Wayne 6-gun you pick for me. What do you do next?
Oh, well, then I go up to the main floor, and when you give me the sign, I holler, "Okay, freeze, this is a holder."
And I approach the teller with the equipment bag and gather in the money. All right. Before anyone forgets anything, here we go. Sweets, what are you doing?
I got my mask on inside out.
It doesn't matter. This isn't a fashion show. Let's go.
I forgot my lines.
You'd better not. Without my teeth, it's hard to talk. Come on. Tell them it's a holdup.
Okay, everyone. Freeze. This is a holdup. You, the first teller. You there. My partner will give you the bag when he comes to your window. Just give him all the dough you got.
Yes, sir. Just push it through the window and into the bank, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I think that will be all. Okay, number two.
Roger, number one. Now listen, everybody. My partner's going to join me, and we're going out of the door. Anybody moves for 5 minutes after we leave takes the chance of being blasted.
Let's go.
Oh,
what is it? What is
my
it?
My hand. You caught it in the door.
Never mind that now. Get it loose.
I think I broke something.
Come on. Let's move. What is that idiot Wally doing backing up?
Maybe he's just trying to get closer.
Okay. Climb in. Start getting rid of your disguise.
Okay.
Why didn't you stay put, Wally?
Well, that guy in the Mercedes parked right in front of me.
Forget him. Let's get out of here. Can you get around him?
Don't have to. He just pulled out.
Then let's follow his example.
Holy cow! It's the gap!
Step on it, Wally. What are you holding up for?
Well, I got a red light.
Go through it. The other guy did.
Yeah, but the cop...
Jump it. Beat it.
Oh, whatever you say, Teach.
Just don't talk. Pour on the gas. Yeah,
come on!
Somebody in the bank must have hit the alarm. Come on, what are you waiting for?
She ain't responding right.
Look, I thought you promised to have this car in first-class condition.
Well, she is. I can't figure out what...
Uh-oh. What? Uh-oh.
Well,
I forgot about yesterday. Long trip. I think I'm out of gas.
Oh!
Now what do I do?
What else can you?
Here's a gas station. Pull in gas up and get rid of disguises, everyone.
They got us for sure. Red-handed.
No. Maybe not. Keep your fingers crossed.
Hey, you.
Me?
Yeah, now, who else is driving? Now, y'all see a big, great car pull away from you in front of the bank there, huh?
Why, it's a Mercedes.
Yeah, you catch the tailplate?
No. Why?
Well, somebody just robbed a bank. Now, who are you guys?
We're part of an amateur senior citizens baseball league, the Freebies, on our way to play the Tampa Over the Hill Gang. Hey, you said somebody robbed a bank.
Now, y'all were parked out in front. Now, didn't you see anything?
You mean the two men who came running out and jumped into the Mercedes?
Oh, I'm going to take out after them, Bill.
We got lucky. Wallet, gas up and then let's get out of here. It looks like we got away with it.
Okay, Bill. Now you hold it. Ah, we lost him.
Well, if it hadn't been for that school bus.
Well, I am not so sure we're on the right guy's tail anyway.
He was the one pulled out spinning his wheels.
Yeah, but how about the other car that took out after him?
Oh, you mean that beat-up old heap which was taking on gas?
Uh-huh, that's the one.
With the three old characters in it? You figure them to rob a bank?
Well, stranger things are happening. Come on, let's get back to the bank and get a rundown on what actually did happen.
Gee, when the cop came up to us at the filling station, I thought for sure we were dead ducks.
Lucky that other car was taking his attention. Okay, everybody, grab a stack and start counting.
All right. One.
What is it?
The hand. The one that got jammed in the door.
What's wrong with it?
Oh, I don't know. It feels like it's broken.
Here, let me have a look. Maybe you better go to the clinic. Have them take a look at it.
Boy.
You want Wally to drive you over there?
No, it ain't far. I could walk.
You do that, Sweets. By the time you get back, we'll have all this divided into three equal shares.
Oh, all them beautiful greenbacks. I never thought we would get away with it.
Now, I want you to think hard, Miss Pennypacker. Now, would you be able to recognize the man who told everyone to freeze, the one with the machine gun?
I couldn't, Sergeant. He was too far away from my cage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was all bundled up in a plastic sort of coat, and he had a sort of knitted hood over his head. You couldn't see his face.
Uh-huh. Well, what about the one you gave the money to?
Well, he had a sort of cape on, and mm-hmm. he had a mask on.
Mask.
Like it was a stocking.
How tall was he?
Oh, I was too scared to look.
Mm-hmm.
About medium, I guess.
Well, what about his hands?
He had gloves on, I think.
Gloves. And after he got the money, he ran out of here with his confederate and climbed in the car.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It was a gray Mercedes.
What's a Mercedes?
That is a big, expensive-looking car.
Oh, no. The one they got into was an old beat-up jalopy.
Ooh, was it now? Now, I wonder if you could just describe that old beat-up car to me very carefully.
That's pretty near $47,000.
Say, after we pay for a nice headstone for Bonzo and his send-off, $15,000 apiece.
Oh, but how would I tell Sarah where it came from?
Why should she ever know?
I think it'd be better if she didn't.
Well, then I suggest we get this display of vulgar wealth out of sight before she gets back.
Oh, she won't be home till late this afternoon.
We don't know how long Sweets will be at the clinic, so we'd better...
Oh, I guess that's Sweets now. Oh, it's Sarah.
What are you two boys up to? Oh, no.
Hello, honey. What do you mean? Oh, no.
Where did all that money come from?
What are you doing home so early?
I was having lunch, and one of those kids had his radio blaring away as usual. They interrupted the music for a news flash about a bank robbery, and I knew right away.
What do you mean, you knew?
I have known for the last week that you three cronies were up to something. When I heard the description on the radio of the disguises, I found out what. That is why I came rushing home.
What disguises you...
Now, Wally, in Florida, with the temperature in the 80s, what did you need with that old ski mask I knitted you? Or with one of my old stockings? Oh, why did Sweet suddenly come and ask me to darn his old sailor's helmet? Are you crazy, all of you?
No, Sarah, there were extenuating circumstances. The main thing is, we got away with it.
Oh, no, you didn't. I'm not going to see my husband in jail. You are going to take that money and march right out of here to where you got it and give it back.
Here's a sad predicament. For all their blundering, our three amateur Willie Suttons apparently have pulled off a coup. But having successfully outwitted the forces of law and order, they have come afoul of an even more implacable foe, a good woman. To paraphrase Mr. Micawber and David Copperfield, accidents will occur in the best regulated families, but in those regulated by the influence of women, they may be expected with confidence and must be borne with philosophy. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. The new game seems to be the electronic one. Video and portable electronic games have suddenly taken hold. And the Better Business Bureau offers this advice. Do a lot of comparison shopping because costs vary both with complexity and with the manufacturer. Play a wide variety of games, too, and find out which ones you prefer, and then read your warranty carefully. Most electronic games come with limited warranties, but some don't. If yours doesn't, check out the store's repair and exchange policies. The availability of repairs should play an important part in your choice, as should the additional expenses of different so-called software packages. But most importantly, buy your game from a reputable dealer where you can count on the staff's knowledge and service. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
A railroad car clatters through Pennsylvania's coal fields almost a century ago. Its only passenger, a doctor named Matthew Shields, beginning a 16-year special assignment for the American Red Cross. In railroad yards, on sidings, and in the great terminals, Dr. Shields would convert his home on wheels into a classroom and teach first aid and occupational safety to industrial America. And all along the way, local physicians were enlisted as Red Cross volunteers to continue the teaching effort. When the car rolled to a stop for the last time, 2 million people had learned first aid. The effort was called a good beginning, but only a beginning. Today, as the Red Cross begins its second century, we're proud that America still looks to us for first aid training. Now we teach over 3 million people every year, and we still say it's only a beginning. Red Cross, ready for a new century.
The great bank robbery scheme seems to be foundering on the rock of a woman's conscience. Our three amateur senior citizen burglars, despite all their bungling, have very little trouble stealing the money from the bank. Now, faced with reversing the process, it's not surprising that they have less confidence in themselves. It's easier to do than to undo.
Sarah, be sensible. We can't return this money.
Why not?
Well, we might get caught in the act.
That didn't seem to bother you when you were stealing the money. You have no right to this money.
Oh, now, honey, you don't know what we planned for it.
I don't want to know. You just walk up and say, I'm sorry, we made a mistake, and we want to return the money.
Oh, I wouldn't want to take a chance on that, sir.
Well, then you'll have to find some other way. Because if that money isn't returned by tomorrow, I am going to the police and tell them where to find it.
You would turn in your own husband?
I'm not interested in some small temporary embarrassment for him, Mr. Teach Durkin. What I am interested in for him is his immortal soul.
Well, now, Sarah's got kind of a point, Teach.
Yeah, I suppose she has. I can't quarrel with her theory, but... Well, how on earth do you think we could put it into practice?
Oh, well, what else can we do now?
I don't know.
Well, you got to. You're the leader.
No, not anymore. I know how to attack, but I don't know how to retreat.
What else can we do?
Well, we can divvy up the dough as we have. Wait for Sweets to return, so me and him can take off with our shares and leave you and Sarah to work out what you want to do with yours.
Oh, I don't know if that would work.
It would be up to you to convince her to go along.
Oh, that must be Sweets.
Hey, hi, Wally. Hi. Hey, Teach. Hmm? Teach, we got trouble.
What, Sweets?
I go in with the hand to see the doc, right? Hmm. Well, the joint is jammed. So this cute little nurse knows me from other times, like when that foul ball dislocated my thumb. Huh? Well, so she says, not again. While you're waiting, go take some deep heat. So I goes in and I shoves my hand under the lamp. And instead of infrared, I hit the ultraviolet button. And what do you think?
I don't. You tell me.
The back of the hand is okay. But all the front, my fingers, the palm, all, it's bright red.
Red? Like blood?
No. Crazy electric, like at a disco.
What are you trying to say?
Hey, listen, I don't think we can ever cash any of the money we heisted. It's marked, like with some kind of dye.
Well, that really blows it.
Oh, what do you mean, Teach?
I mean your wife Sarah's right. Now, we got no choice. We've got to give it back as fast as we can before we get in real trouble.
Those three old Joes pulled a fast one on us, Bill. They were the ones that held up the bank. Now, you and me just blew it. And the big brass ain't going to be stupid enough not to think the same.
But, Sarge, what can we do?
We are going to put in all the extra time we can into this. We're going to ride the only clue we got.
Yeah, what's that, Sarge?
That beat-up old heap they were driving. Now, I'd spotted a mile off. It's the only real clue we got.
No, we don't take the car. Too recognizable. And there's no way we return the money in person. That's too chancy.
Well, how about by messenger?
Oh, come on now, Wally. How could we do that without a receipt? And that leads straight to us.
Hey, how about just mail it?
Mail it?
Well, it was just a thought.
Yeah, but an excellent one, Wally. That solves all our problems.
Yeah, I got a nice box for it.
The perfect solution.
You just leave it to me. I'll handle the whole thing.
And I'll drive you over once you get it packed.
And I'll pay for the stamps. I got us into this mess. It's up to me to get us out of it.
Of our jurisdiction, Sarge.
Yeah, I know it, Bill, but I ain't just about to let three old goats in a jalopy lose me my stripes without a fight. Oh, boy, they sure fooled me.
We were too busy trying to catch up with the Mercedes.
Yeah. Now, whoever was in that Mercedes sure giving their break.
The next time, they won't be so lucky.
Next time? Well, you think they'll try to knock over another bank?
Well, I don't know. I just have a hunch if I keep looking long enough, I'm going to turn up that card. Oh, by the way, if you see a post office, stop off for a moment. I got to get a stamp and send off a card to my daddy for his birthday.
What the Sam hell is taking Sweet so long in that post office?
Well, maybe there's a long line or something.
Well, he's been in there almost half an hour.
You want me to go in and see what goes?
No. You stay with the car. I'll go in. Uh-oh.
What is it, Chief?
Police car just pulled up in front.
Oh, there's a cop getting out.
That's the police sergeant that was at the gas station the night we held up the bank.
We'd close the door and get in. We'd better make a run for it.
No, we can't deserve Sweets like that. Look, anyway, there doesn't seem to be much excitement. Wait, hold it.
The sergeant went into the post office.
Oh, yeah. Look who's coming out of the swing door on the other side.
Sweets.
Well, the other cop in the other car isn't paying any attention to him. Wally, start the car.
Yeah, sure, Jeet. Yeah.
Pull out and meet the Sweets. That big truck should shield us from the police car.
He'd better. Does Sweets see us, though?
I don't think he could. Yes, yep. Just caught his eye. He changed his direction. You can pull right up to him.
What about the cops?
One's inside the post office. The other one, the car's busy with his radio. Probably checking in.
Well, we can pick up Sweets now.
Okay. Jump in, Sweets. Hurry.
Okay, what's all the sweat?
Never mind that now. You mail the package?
Well, sure. No problem.
Okay, Wally, let's get out of here. Well, Wally, take it easy. They didn't see us. We're out of the woods.
Happy birthday, dear Sweetie.
Oh, I sure do. Thank you all. You and the missus, Wally, for this little party for me. And you too, Teach.
It isn't only a birthday party for you, Sweets. It's a celebration.
Thank heaven we mailed back that stolen money. We don't have to be ashamed anymore.
Well, I still feel ashamed that none of us have enough to buy our friend Sweet some birthday gifts.
Oh, no, I don't need any more than you guys as friends. I didn't expect nothing since we all got just about that. So
I'll get it. Sarah, isn't it about time for the cake?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Cake?
Your favorite. Pineapple upside down.
Oh, boy, what a party, huh?
You deserve it. You made us all free men again.
Wally, who was at the door?
There's a mailman delivering this.
Oh, what is it?
It's a package for you, Sweets.
Hey, how about that? Maybe somebody did send me a birthday gift after all.
I hate to disappoint you. This here is what you sent out at the post office. It was returned for insufficient postage.
Well, I thought it had enough stamps. You see, I spent every dime I had in my pocket.
But how'd they know to send it back here?
Because it had a return address on it. How could you do it, Sweets?
Well, I couldn't afford to insure it, and I didn't want it to get lost. And the guy behind the counter said it ought to have a return address, at least.
It didn't occur to you that after it was delivered to the bank, they would have come straight to this address and investigated? And as a result, we could have all been jailed?
Well, I never thought about anything, but just I wanted to get the money back and out from under.
Maybe it's a lucky thing you didn't have money enough for stamps to get it delivered. Oh, no. Now what do we do, Teach?
What we should have done once Sarah brought us to our senses. I'll put the money in a shopping bag and go back to the bank and throw myself on their mercy.
Oh, no, sir. We're in this together.
Yeah, like the three musketeers. One for all and all together.
Okay. First thing tomorrow. Right, Sarah?
Right. I just hope they don't come down too hard on you boys.
I've been thinking. There's no sense in going overboard. What I think is we ought to do the whole thing in reverse, as it were. We have our disguises, our plan. The only difference here is we're returning the money instead of taking it away. It's raining, and it's an overcast day. We stand every chance of getting in and out better than we did the first time.
Just about to the bank, Teach. Where do you want me to park?
Right in front, same as last time.
Do we still make a getaway?
If we can return the dough and get out.
Well, there's no reason why we can't. I mean, you're doing it just like the holdup, huh?
Exactly. I'll say, I'm returning this money. Don't anyone move until my partner and me are gone.
You still got the toy guns?
Right here.
Hey, that looks like the gray Mercedes that was here last week.
Who cares? Let's park and get this over with.
Bale?
Yeah, what is it, Sarge?
Bale, that's the car. The beat-up heap has slowed down.
And we're right around the corner from the bank. Well, you don't figure he's going back there.
I don't care what I figure. Now, just let's step on the gas and get there and see for real.
Now, sweets, we're going to put on our disguises just like last time. I'll join the line, give the money to the teller, and warn her to give us time to get away.
Okay, stand just where you are. This is a holdup.
He's cutting in on us.
Maybe this is our big break.
I have a partner here who has your cover. Just don't interfere with us, and nobody gets hurt. Okay, miss. I want all the money in your tail.
What do you mean, a big break?
You take his confederate, I'll take the main guy. Okay?
Okay.
Go.
Drop the gun, mister.
Drop it! Drop it or I'll cut you in half!
Hey! All right, everyone, this is the police now. Put your guns down. Come on. Put them down, all of you. Get your hands high over your head. The party is over.
I don't see how that cop ever let us go.
Well, he really didn't have anything on us.
But he had us dead to rights. All that dough we stole, right in our hands.
Not exactly. In all the confusion, you see, I dumped it in with the cash the bank robber had in his bag.
Yeah, well, you didn't fool that sergeant for 1 minute.
No. But when I pointed out to him how much easier it was to nail a couple of known criminals for both robberies, he had to agree. Particularly since the same car had been there last Monday for the same reason as it was there today.
Yeah, only last week we beat them to it.
And if we hadn't come back to return the money, they would have got away today, and he'd have 2 unsolved robberies on his hands.
He's a pretty decent cop.
Yeah. Well, he has some understanding of the problem.
He let us off scot-free.
Not quite. He sort of put us on parole, you might say. He's coming by to umpire our ball games for the rest of the season.
I'm glad the sergeant gave our senior citizens a break. It just may be, however, that the sergeant didn't let them off entirely scot-free. He did, as promised, umpire all their league ball games, and strangely enough, their team lost them all. Equally strange, this was one umpire they never questioned. I'll be back shortly.
Lorne Green speaks to you for Medic Alert.
An accident or sudden illness might seriously affect your ability to speak or communicate. That's why wearing a Medic Alert emblem is especially important if you have a hidden medical condition such as an allergy to penicillin, or diabetes, hypertension, or a heart problem, for example. The emblem contains a special ID number, a 24-hour phone number, and your medical condition engraved on the reverse side. In an emergency, Medic Alert provides identification and vital information within seconds. A wallet card is sent to you each year to provide current medical information. Wearing a Medical Alert emblem can help ensure you swift and accurate treatment in a medical emergency. Remember, Medical Alert speaks for you when you can't. Take good care of yourself.
For information, write Medical Alert, Turlock, California, 95381. This message was brought to you as a public service by this station.
It isn't any easier for Teach and his flock to make ends meet these days, but at least their ideas are somewhat less radical. They have learned to use the entertainment dollar. Well, not dollar exactly, but whatever the gate is worth for a ball game. The money they gather in a hat, the gate, which they prefer to call it, goes to purchase equipment for the team. That is what comes in now after the first receipts were used for a suitable memorial to Bonzo. Our cast included Fred Gwynn, Earl Hammond, Ian Martin, and E.V. Juster. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
If it were possible for you to enter my canoe, turn it around, and travel against the stream of time, you might find yourself back in those ages of the past you think are dead.
The past is dead.
Oh, it lives. All the pasts of all the civilizations continue.
Oh, I would give anything to be able to believe that.
Would you risk death to go back?
I would. A truly scientific mind would.
I can take you back to the days of Jacques Cartier, the explorer.
But you cannot guarantee my return to this present?
I have done it before, alone. I go back to my people often.
Back and forth between the centuries?
Yes. Whether I can take you with me, I'm not sure.
This is E.G. Marshall, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
A clear picture of what's underground before you start digging. The law requires that you notify all the utility companies at least 3 working days before you dig. Because the unseen utility system is so complex, there's no margin for error. Pennsylvania One Call is your security system. It's the easiest way to find out where underground utility lines and cables are located. Phone Pennsylvania One Call toll free at 800-242-1776. Tell the operator when and where you'll be digging. She'll get your information to the participating utility companies, and they'll locate their lines for you. One Call can help protect you and the public, as well as prevent property damage and the interruption of critical utility service. Remember, before you dig, contact Pennsylvania One Call toll free at 800-242-1776. It's simple, sensible, and it's free. 800-242-1776.
10:59 on KQV. CBS News coming your way in 30 seconds from now. In the interim, the forecast for Pittsburgh and vicinity: warm, humid through Wednesday. Scattered thundershowers early tonight, again late in the day tomorrow, and tomorrow night as well. Nighttime low temperatures, 65 degrees. Daytime high temperature both days, 85 degrees. Currently, we have temperature readings of 71 degrees downtown, 70 degrees out at the airport. Right now, we're going to get an update on national and international news from CBS. Good evening. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. The Air Traffic Controllers Union says the strike will continue, even though a federal judge has imposed fines, and the Justice Department is filing criminal charges against 22 union leaders. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. U.S. attorneys are filing complaints against union officials in 11 cities. And in Washington, federal judge Harold Green refused to grant specific requests from the Reagan administration for tough fines and arrests of top union officials. But Judge Green is imposing accelerated fines, $250,000, if the strike is still on tomorrow night. A second day would be $500,000. Day three would begin fines of $1 million a day through August 9th. The union says no matter how much it's fined, it still has only $3.5 million in its treasury. The government has obtained a court order banning the union from spending that money. The head of the union, Robert Poli, says the strike will continue until the government negotiates further. President Reagan has said there will be no talks while the strike is on. AFL-CIO President Lane Kirkland objects to President Reagan's reaction to the controller's strike. We have details from Bob Faw in Chicago.
Kirkland said the administration was overreacting and is guilty now of what he called brutal, unnecessary overkill by threatening to fine and even jail striking controllers. Brutal, repressive measures against a small number of loyal, responsible citizens, he went on, has only one objective.
That's strike breaking, certainly. That's union busting, I would say.
So Kirkland called on the government to back off and called for both sides to get back together at the bargaining table, which he said neither should have left in the first place. As for whether the strike is illegal, the AFL-CIO president argued that all workers, private and public, have a fundamental right to withhold services whenever they think conditions are intolerable. Bob Paul, CBS News, Chicago.
And we'll have more CBS News in a minute.
Now you see it, now you don't. That may be the case with the worldwide oil glut. Producers have slashed output to the point that prices could start firming again, perhaps by this fall. If information like this is important to you, you should be reading the Wall Street Journal every business day. So have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Journal that will help keep you informed of everything happening anywhere that could affect your future and your company's future. Recent Wall Street Journal articles revealed why the auto slump is forcing suppliers of car parts into bankruptcy, how oil money is fueling Wall Street's merger boom, and how companies are coping with two career families. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks, less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska, you'll be billed later.
The Senate has passed the compromise tax cut bill by a vote of 67-8. A final House vote is due tomorrow, and President Reagan is expected to sign it into law by Wednesday. Officials at a multi-million-dollar jet engine test center near Manchester, Tennessee, have found out that Tab A won't fit into Slot B. Ike Pappas has details.
Embarrassed Air Force officials explain the buildings on the 57-acre complex, the largest single construction project ever attempted by the Air Force, were designed by one architect and the equipment to go inside the buildings by a separate engineer. Apparently, they didn't coordinate blueprints, as Air Force Brigadier General Clifton Wright explained.
We did not know what the equipment was going to look like until the equipment was actually designed, developed, and fabricated. I would not characterize it as gross mismanagement. Certainly, there, in hindsight, we could have done a better job.
The cost of the original project was put at $437 million. It will take another $138 million, a third more, to redesign the complex to make everything fit. If Congress doesn't come up with the additional money, the Air Force says it will close the unfinished facility. Ike Pappas, CBS News, the Pentagon.
The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Cindy is about 400 miles east-southeast of Boston tonight. It's moving toward the northeast. CBS News continues after this message.
Tuesday on CBS television.
I'm not gonna die.
She was a singer stricken by an unknown illness. He was a brash surgeon fighting impossible odds.
This is bad. This is really bad.
And only a miracle could save her.
Kathy, wake up. It's time to come on. Wake up, Kathy.
Leonard Nimoy and Penelope Milford star in Seizure, the story of Kathy Morris, a CBS dramatic special based on a true story. Tuesday night at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on CBS television.
Getting along in the world these days isn't the easiest thing to do. As a matter of fact, it's
can be quite trying and stressful. I'm Edel LeShan, and each weekday on most of these stations, I try to bring you some practical ideas on how to deal with personal problems and daily tensions. My broadcast is called Getting Along, and I hope you'll find it helpful. So join me daily, Monday through Friday, for Getting Along on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. Hear it here.
A labor dispute has been settled in Spicer, Minnesota. Diane Bonema went on strike because her husband and kids refused to help out around the house. She attached a picket sign to a broom handle on the front lawn where she sat listening to the radio. It attracted a lot of attention, she says, and finally her family agreed to do some work. There's nothing in writing, but Diane has confidence in collective bargaining because, she says, she wields a big stick, her broom handle picket sign that's still within reach. John Bohannon, CBS News.
Good evening. 71 degrees, overcast skies downtown. I'm Steve Lowell, and you're listening to News Radio 14 KQV on this 3rd of August, 1981. Among the...